The following sermon was delivered by Executive Pastor Reverend Dr. Jonah So in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Dr. Jonah So.
Hear now the word of God from Isaiah chapter 43, starting with the first verse. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west, I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How has the start of this year been for you? Last Sunday was the first one of 2025. Everything was fresh, like newly fallen snow covering everything. There was like a beauty to a new start. We made our New Year's resolutions. We received our star words. Mine was dream. We were inspired. Second weekend, how does it look now? Any New Yorker can tell you that fresh snow doesn't last long. It quickly turns to brown slush, and you might find yourself ankle deep in a puddle that disguised itself like solid footing. To me, this is what the baptism of the Lord Sunday is for. It helps us deal with the reality of life after the newness wears off. Before we consider and connect with the baptism of Jesus Christ, let's first examine the words of the prophet Isaiah. The passage opens with, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God speaks to God's people. The exhortation to the people is, do not fear. The command was spoken to a people who were in exile. At the end of chapter 42, right before today's passage, Isaiah explains that the exile was God's punishment as a result of Israel's disobedience. So, the God who handed God's people into the hands of the enemy tells Israel, "Don't be afraid." Weird, right? Or is it? I commute to church every morning. I pay for a permit that allows me to park on a street near the train station. A permit is required at all times to park there. However, there are many individuals who park their cars on that street to run into the deli or drop off their kids at the children's center while totally understandable. It is intensely frustrating when I am rushing to catch a train and all the spots are filled. One day, in an exasperated fit, I pleaded to a meter maid to check all the cars on the street. I'd be like, are we recording? Okay, fine. Exasperated fit. I like just told. The officer ended up issuing, I think, a good amount of tickets. And the next day, there were a lot of spots available. And that next day, I like saw the meter maid waved, you know, with a big smile. And like, we had a moment. Last year, we changed cars. I parked as I ordinarily do. But when I returned to my car, my bud, the meter maid, was ticketing me. I ran up and said, hey, that's my car, right? I have a permit, you know that. He responded, oh, I see. But this car is not registered under the permit. And he continued writing me up. As he did, he asked me, as if we were still friends, how do you like this car? I was like, what? And it just, like burned inside so much. You know, like how could he do that to me? I felt so betrayed. For a year, I thought about that like once a week. You know, it pops in my head and you gotta like physically like shake it out of your mind. You're like, oh, and like in disbelief. It's like the gall of the meter maid ticketing me like with a smile. But as I reflected on this passage, my understanding of that day changed. The meter maid did not make it personal. To the officer, I had broken the law that required the issuing of my ticket. He wasn't necessarily happy to ticket me, but he had to. His job demanded it. To me, I wanted my connection, my relationship with the officer to be enough to waive the consequences of my actions. Israel behaved sinfully. They disobeyed the laws of God. As a consequence, they were exiled. They suffered. They felt betrayed and abandoned by God. They took it personally. Like me, they thought their relationship with God would protect them from their disobedience. Alas, the ticket was issued, and the people went into captivity. But I received a smile. Initially, it felt like insult to injury, as if the officer took great pleasure in giving me a ticket. I mean, think about it. The delicious irony of giving a ticket to someone who complained about other people and then committed the same crime. But in hindsight, that smile was meant to indicate he still recognized the relationship between us. I think God, too, smiles upon Israel. God does so through the opening words of Isaiah 43. But now. That phrase, but now. Because that phrase indicates that things were one way in chapter 42. But now, things have changed. The captivity in Babylon has ended, and God brought the exiles home. God has redeemed and restored them. During the punishment, God never stopped loving them. Although the people may have felt as if God stopped loving them, that was just not true. I experienced this fairly regularly as a father of a middle schooler. If I dole out a punishment, it is always interpreted as if I hate her or that I'm mean. Never because of her misbehavior. But I love her so much. Geez, what must God feel like? So God reminds Israel, I created you. I formed you. You are mine. Thus, I redeemed you. Placed upon the deep love and affection, the unbroken relationship between God and God's people is the command, do not fear. From what should they not be afraid? Isaiah goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Israel had been yearning to return home from exile in Babylon. After 70 years, their redemption is realized. They are freed. But what does that mean? Will they return home and find everything as it has been and was? When we wish for something so dearly, so intensely, when we finally get it, sometimes it feels almost anticlimactic to face the question, now what? But there's always more work to be done. The exiles would have to return and rebuild. They would have to defend themselves from new enemies and try to live in peace with one another. Adversity does not cease. Yes, God has created them. Yes, God has formed them. Yes, God redeems them. And yes, God loves them. But God never promises to remove adversity from their lives. Rather, God promises to be with them. Water and rivers, fires and flame will always remain a reality, but the promise is they will not face it alone. The promise is that they would not be overwhelmed, nor would they be consumed by them. In the remainder of today's scripture passage, God tells Israel that they are precious, honored, and loved by God. As they journey into an uncertain and unknown future, what is certain and what is known is that God will be with them each step of the way. What does it mean that God will be with us through the water and fire? If you look at the bulletin cover, it is titled Baptism of Christ with Dove. As I thought of this message and I looked for art that might reflect what was going on, this painting stirred me as it depicts Christ in the waters of baptism, but he also seems to be surrounded by intense flames as the dove descends. Today is baptism of the Lord. In describing Jesus' baptism, Luke says this, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the way I have understood Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany for most of my life. Advent reminds us of the human condition. In Letters and Prayers from Prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer compared life in a prison cell to the season of Advent because the door is shut and can only be opened from the outside. Thus, Advent is a time for us to anticipate and await help from God. Christmas is a season of joy and celebration for the long-awaited gift God gives to us in the baby Jesus. But joy and celebration and epiphany is the season where we begin to discover and make sense of the gift that was given to us. God loved us so much that God sent God's only Son. Many would assume that as God's only Son, Jesus would be exempt from certain difficulties, trials, and tribulations. You know, do you know who my dad is? Right? Yet in Epiphany, we discover that Jesus was baptized as we are. Jesus enters the waters of baptism. Jesus meets us where we are as we are. Even after God says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased," Jesus is not exempt from the adversities of human life. He goes through all that we do. And I remind you, he even prays to the Heavenly Father at one point in his earthly ministry for the cup to pass from him. No, please. But it does not. In his obedience, Jesus goes through all that we do. Jesus does for us that which we could not do for ourselves, and credits to us by faith in Christ. Jesus is the embodiment of God's promise made through the prophet Isaiah that God will be with us through the waters of chaos and the fires of destruction that lie ahead in our lives. Through baptism, not only are we united with Christ by the reception of the Holy Spirit, but we are tethered together as a community taking on Christ's mission and ministry. While wildfires are not unusual in California, the one that started on January 7th has caused devastation that was beyond anticipation in the Los Angeles area. Pastor Scott reached out to other clergy in the affected areas, hearing reports of churches and homes on fire, burned down, people fleeing for safety. Pastors were in a daze trying to deal with the reality and the chaos. And as Natalie shared earlier, Fifth Avenue has acted to support the relief and recovery efforts. As Christ's community, we can reflect Jesus' ministry of being with others through the fire and adversity. In the second week of the year, maybe you feel like the white shirt of 2025 that you just donned is already stained and ruined. On this Baptism of the Lord Sunday, rest assured that Jesus anticipates that we would be stained. He willingly takes on the pain of our stains. You know, when you wear that crisp white shirt, it's like, boop. That pain of when you don't have that tide stick, especially. And that's all you see now. He willingly takes that pain of our stains, and he will ultimately wash those stains out But on this side of eternity, there will certainly be stains. That is the hope I pray you will leave with today. As we go deeper into 2025, we will face rough waters and raging fires. We will face uncertainty, pain, and heartache. But we are exhorted to not fear, for God is with us. It is not a God that is far away and distant, but a God that came to us as a person and chose to be with us in our circumstances, not angry, but cheering us on. These days, one of my great joys in life has been watching and cheering for Harvey and his team playing hockey. It's different now. It's different now. I feel like I can say and declare, I'm not an angry hockey dad. I mean, I think I was pretty good at it, but I'm just not that guy anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't figure it all out, okay? But there's been a change. And I think that it changed when I realized that if he doesn't want it for himself, no matter how much I seethe, give him intense looks, or scream, there's no way to force what I want, which is for his good, to happen. There's like no real effect. Only negative things, but you know. So I took a different tack. I told him, look, I believe in your skills, I see it. And I will continue to support you however I can. And I love watching you improve. And doing it this way is so much better. I prefer it. I love it. I'm so much happier. And I think he is too. Because I've seen more courage and confidence in his game and in his demeanor. I cherish that. And it makes me wonder, if we head and continue to trek into 2025, stains and all, knowing that our Heavenly Father believes in us, supports us, and loves watching our effort, since Christ took care of it all, what would this year look like for us? Church, do not fear, for God has redeemed us. God has called us by name. We are God's. We are precious in God's sight and honored, and we are loved by God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, you are God's beloved, called and claimed to love as you have been loved. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you today and always. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.